Good morning. I have a stretch of 2 months, so we're going to deal with a subject that's very familiar to us. One preacher said there's only 20 subjects. If you really put it in very general terms, there's about 20 subjects that you'll find in the scripture, okay? And there's just many ways God illustrates them. And many ways God tries to get us to see those truths, principles, okay? Principles are in scripture. They're laid for us. And you'll find it in Bible context. You know, the Bible is a library. You have a library with you, not just one book, although it is contained in one book, so we're blessed to have it in one book. But it is a library of 66 books. And it's put together for us with different authors, human authors, but it's penned by the Holy Ghost, and that's clear to us. And so as it is combined, you find that from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you find there's a common thread of truth, all right? And those are what we call principles. Principles are good to live by because you will pass with flying colors. It doesn't matter what era or what century you live in, because they don't change. They're the same basic principles throughout the whole scripture. And you look at the whole Bible, it is different eras. At one time, they were under Roman rule. The other time, they're under Babylonian Empire. And so different situation you find in scripture, but you find that the truth is embedded in them. Why? Because there is one God. Why would he write many different truths about a subject? That would be very confusing. He has told us some truths that if you study the scriptures, you'll find them, all right? And as you grow in your Christianity, he will enlighten you and he will reveal more truths to you if you want to. Part of it is you wanting to get these truths in your life. If you don't want the truth, God is not going to force them upon you. He will not reveal truth to you if you are not willing in your heart to say, I want to learn. Do you want to work with somebody that don't want to learn? Anybody want to work with somebody that knows everything already? Can you teach them anything? Or can you teach somebody that is your superior in a field? It's very hard unless that superior humbles himself or herself and say, I can learn from this new person. That is even my subordinate, right? That's very hard to do sometimes. So we're going to talk about a familiar subject that, as pastor, gave us a principle. If you sow an emphasis, you'll reap a result. Galatians 6, verse number 1. Verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. It's not in your notes, so go there really quick. These are free. It's free this morning. Because it's free, sing. Pray for us. The boiler is almost fixed. Tuesday. Wednesday, come. It's going to be warm here. I'm telling you. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Sometimes teaching truths that are very, very basic becomes very, very boring for people that think they know everything about the subject. Okay? So this is going to be a hard task for me, but I'm going to sow an emphasis. Okay? It's been emphasized before, but maybe it hasn't been emphasized again. And so we have to bring it up into the surface. Have you ever had like a clothes that you put in the back part of your closet and all of a sudden you were cleaning, like spring cleaning? Thank you for all those that clean. The church looks amazing. Smells amazing. Let's do this every week. Anyways, you find in that closet, whoa, I remember wearing this once. And you're lucky it'll fit you. But I remember wearing this once. But you didn't know until you what? Saw it again. Unless you moved around and got some things out of the way and put in. A lot of times Bible truths are like that for us. We were given them and then all of a sudden they were not emphasis anymore, or it was not brought back in memory. It's not placed in front of our eyes all the time, and they get buried in the closet. of knowledge. And then all of a sudden, we don't do them anymore. Or we neglect some of it. So this is one of them. Pastor didn't even want to announce it. He said, if you announce that, most people, they're not going to be excited. I said, probably. But who cares? I'm going to teach you what God says. What was I saying again? Galatians chapter number 6. Verse number, I had a great time last night. I'm going to tell you what we did, but it was amazing. If you want to know, there's a few people I can tell you. Anyways, Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7. Be not deceived. So there is no illusion here. There is no point of hiding. There's no deception here. Okay? This is truth. This is a principle. You find in the Old Testament all the way to the New. This principle is what? God is not mocked. That's a good principle. God is not going to be laughed at the end. Okay? He's laughed at now. He's mocked now. But at the end, he will not be mocked. Okay? So live your life, it says in Ecclesiastes, go ahead and have a good time. But God says, I have a few words with you at the end of that life I gave you. Okay? And he will get the final words. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Pardon those on live stream. I did not give this to Brother Bob. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Very clear principle in scriptures. You find that all the way from the beginning. That's why God says, do not partake of that forbidden fruit. Because if you do, there is a reaping. The reaping is death. Okay? We got that all the way from the very first command God made to Adam and Eve. Do not eat of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day that you eat it thereof, ye shall surely die. That's a consequence. That is the result of an action. Okay? So this truth is carried out all the way throughout scripture. So I'm going to do that today. I want to sow an emphasis on this topic, and may I pray that it will result in, it will reap a result, I should say. Okay, let's pray. Lord, this is so essential, it's not funny. This is so essential as breathing for a Christian, it's not funny. This is so essential for people to eat as for people to eat. It's so essential as for people to sleep. In a Christian, this is so essential. But I'm afraid, even in my own life, I'm so sorry, God, that I neglect it so often. And Lord, today, may I ask you to cause us to stop in our busy life. Stop in our agenda, in our ambition, in our dreams, in our goals, in our aspiration. May you please let us stop and be still and reason with you and get back to this thought in our life. I'm asking you. I need it for myself, if not for anybody else. And I think our church needs it. The thought of rebuilding Faith Bible Baptist Church, because we have done a good job of sending people out of our church and sending them to the mission field. I think of Brother Justin and Kaylee and that beautiful family. My heart of hearts, I want them here. I want them here working with it, together with them here. But I'm glad I get to work with them on the other side of the world by praying for them, by sending them funds, by making sure we're there when they call, making sure we're there when they need something. Visit them a few times. Others, Lord, Miss Monique Lindsay, thank you that we can partner with her. Others, Lord, that has been sent out of this church, one started here, now started churches across the, a pastor mentioned it a few months ago, how many men and ladies came through this church and was equipped here, was used here, and then was entrained by you. Give them that. And they went out because of this truth we're about to talk about. And Lord, we saw churches planted. Hilltop Baptist Church is doing something for you like right now in Angola. Thank you for Countryside Baptist Church. And Brother Ben is there. We're praying for a permanent pastor, Lord. Pray for Brother Frank as he's doing interim. But at Brightway Baptist Church, we need a family that will focus in that area and do exactly what we're going to talk about this month. Oh God, I pray that we would not be bored with this thought. Help it to be exciting. Help it to be new. Help it to be fresh. help me as I teach. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Essential. That's going to be the title of this, is essential. COVID caused us to think of what is essential. Remember COVID when it first was crazy? The words came about, what is essential? And we're still debating what is essential today. I'm going to ask you this question. Don't say it out loud. Say it in your heart. What is essential for you? What is that that you need to have so that you can continue living a productive and satisfied life as a Christian? This needs to be in it. This needs to be in it. Can I say that again? Let me say it the third time. This needs to be in it. If you want to continue to live a successful, productive Christian life. Are we Christians today? If you're not Christians today, you say, well, I don't even know what you mean by are you a Christian. Well, let me ask you this. Are you 100% without a shadow of a doubt that if you leave this earth and go to the afterlife, that you would be in a place called heaven? Are you 100% sure of that today? If you can look at me and say, yes, because of what the Bible says, then I would say you're a Christian, if you can show me from the Bible. If you say, I don't even know, guess what? I'm Pastor Chris Barron. And later, when we all dismissed, or before the next preacher, Pastor Cole, our pastor, or after his message, I'm sure he's going to bring this up, you come to one of us, and we'll tell you. If you're a lady and you're maybe nervous about that, there's some ladies that can tell you. Just come to us. We'll direct you. We'll show you from the scripture why we are here and why Faith Bible Baptist Church is even around and why there's Christians that gather. We're going to tell you what is essential for you. And that's salvation found nowhere else but in a person called Jesus Christ. Our church is not special. It's just where a place we gather and this truth is preached. That's what makes it special, because this truth is preached. It's not been hampered. It's not hidden here. It is shining bright. Jesus is our Savior. We believe that. All right? And there's no other way to go to heaven. Essential in definition in the dictionary says absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. Important. Important. Vital. Vital. Have you ever seen a vital, right, in the doctor? If you don't have a vital, you're dead. You don't want to have no vital signs. We need to be alive, okay? It is basic. And so when it becomes basic, oh, I know that. Good, you know that. Let me ask you, you're practically living it out. That's what I'm going to get to, okay? It's fundamental. We call ourselves independent, fundamental. You know what that means? That means we have foundation. We have foundational truths we believe in. And this is one of them. That Jesus Christ is the Lord, Savior of any man, any woman that have lived before us, that are living currently with us, and that will live after us. Okay? He is the Savior. As John 14 and verse 6 says, there's no other way except for him. You ready? I want to tell you, because you're not going to come next week. I don't know this. So the whole title of this series, and it's 40 sessions. So I don't think I'm going to finish it. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to take breaks. I don't go back to it. But there's some challenges in here. You take it upon yourself. You want to take it or not. I'm not going to force you. But I'm going to challenge you with some thoughts. Because this thing needs to be like we're breathing. It's part of our daily life. It has to be. If not, it's not going to work. Do you understand that? This part of our life has to be daily. It has to be in our mind, in the forefront. It's like that dress that's so beautiful, but it ain't doing no one good if it's stuck and nobody can see it. It needs to be shown up. It needs to be like Easter's coming, Resurrection Sunday, for those that are spiritual. Spiritual. It's the 17th. Some of you ladies are already like, yes, I'm going to wear this dress. All right? You're ready. You're ready. I already know what color scheme it is. 3 weeks in advance. My wife put the notice in. Hey, red. okay, I'm going to find some red. I said, I have red underwear, but anyways, are you still alive? You're alive, good. That works. She's not here. I don't see that. No, I don't see it. The essentials of evangelism is what we're going to talk about. Oh, we're going to talk about this. Yes, we're going to talk about this. Because it's so needed. It's so needed. Well, it's hard out there. Who cares? God says it's hard out there. Don't do this. Where is that in Scripture? Tell me. Tell me in Scripture where that says that. Then I won't. I won't even bother with it. Because I don't like it either. It's hard. It's a hard place to do this. There's some other place that it's nice. Because people are nicer to you. They'll feed you. But it's so essential. It has to be like you breathing. It has to be a part of your life. And it's not just the job of a particular person in the church. It has to be the job of every Christian. This is your job. Just like every Christian has to pray, and every Christian has to read the scriptures, and every Christian has to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you have to have a personal what? Responsibility to let someone else know of the very best thing that ever happened in your life. We say that. This is the best thing ever happened to me. Why don't you talk about it then? Why don't you let somebody hint them a little bit on why you're so happy all the time? Some of you are happy all the time. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm glad. Give me some of that pill, whatever it is. Is it like a shake that you drink every morning? I don't know. But if we say that, why are we so silent about it in our daily interaction, in our daily life? Why are we so silent about this? Is it the devil have done a great job of... Don't say it. No. I know you're blessed, but don't say a word about it. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be crude. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be fake. You don't have to be a hypocrite. You don't have to come across insensitive. You can be all the good things and still share this with a real heart to a real person. Genuinely sharing Jesus Christ. Is Jesus sincerely real in your life? Then let him be known by others around you. All right? Let him be known. Let him speak out. Let him shine out of your life. Okay? So what are the... This is so essential in itself. But I wanna nitpick a little bit of evangelism itself. Well, you can call it whatever. You can call it visitation. You can call it soul winning. You can call it one-on-one, I'm giving you Jesus. Okay, whatever you want to call this. Term it whatever you want. But it's the thought of you sharing your faith to somebody else so that they can find Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Okay, there's many ways we can do this. This is a way. Some of these things are opinions. Some of these things are maybe a methodology that you could use. I don't care what you use, as long as it's not deterring from holiness and God's truth. But you need to do something where you're comfortable to share Jesus Christ with somebody else. Guys, I have no problem when I meet somebody for the first time. Here's my beautiful wife, Elizabeth. No problem. It's almost natural. Almost natural. In fact, no, it's not almost. It's natural. If you're new today, I'm going to greet you and say, hey, you know, my name is so-and-so. And this is my beautiful wife. This is my children. It's very natural. This is my Lord, Jesus Christ. He's got a truth that he once spoke to me. I want to share that with you. Do it whatever you want. Do it however you want to do it. There's so many ways. I'm just going to give you a few thoughts. What is essential for us to do evangelism? Okay? Evangelism itself is essential already. I think I made my point very clear. Now, there are some essentials of that evangelism itself. And number one we're going to talk about today is prayer. Prayer is essential. In evangelism, if you do not pray, don't bother talking to somebody about Jesus. Don't. Because you will fail most of the time if you don't. Now, there's a scripture we're going to read that sometimes the motives of people telling Jesus Christ is not always right. But Jesus says, don't stop them. At least they're letting my name be known, okay? So don't get hooked up on some of this. But let's do the best we can. So as people that want to get into somebody's heart and leave them there, Jesus, lead them to Jesus, then we need to do a lot of praying, okay? I'm going to make some of this practical. When an outreach effort is preceded by serious prayer, the results are much greater than outreach efforts made without a foundation of prayer. Okay? Those of you that go with me, Brother Jake has gone with me Saturdays. Oftentimes, we would pray before we make a visit. If not all the time, we pray before we make a visit. Okay? In fact, in my notes, I have people in my notes, I have sections, follow up. People that I need to follow up. I know their addresses, their numbers. Cordially, I ask them. And what do? Before I get to them, I've been praying about them for a very long time. Before I go step on their doors. Okay? Why do I do that? Because I am not doing it by myself. I'm a co-laborer of Jesus Christ. I have nothing in me that they need. They need only one thing from me. They need to know who I know, and that's Jesus Christ. And I have to be communicating with him. He's got all the skills. He knows the hearts of the people. And so I need to be in tune with him. James 5 in verse number 16. If you want to turn there really quick. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. We're still together? Bodily we are, right? How about consciously? Are we still here? Everybody here? Praise the Lord, we're all here. At least we're not all there. Oh, that didn't sound right. James chapter number 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. We've talked about this in unity as a church, right? Before. And pray one for another. That's a good habit in itself. As a church member, it's not just the job of the pastor to pray for the congregation. It's your job to pray for everybody you know as your brothers and sisters in Christ. That ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's power in prayer. We know a lot of these things. Prayer is not discretionary. It is principle. It is a prerequisite to reaching others. By the way, some of the things I'm using here is not originally mine. I'm borrowing from people. Look at Acts 1 and verse number 4. In being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he, ye have heard of me. He's talking about them there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2. They're going to wait for what? The Holy Spirit to manifest himself. Before they did what? After that, what happened? They were preaching Christ. In fact, supernaturally, they had cloven tongue. I have to be careful how I say that. They had cloven tongue on the top of their head. And when they preached in their language, they were being heard by the foreign languages that are around them during that time. Okay? And that's the thought of this, what? We need the power of God before we talk to people. They need to be bathed in prayer. If we want to do effective, productive evangelism, we need to do some fervent, effective, effectual praying. Praying, 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 praying. There was a lady, it's crazy. March was crazy. I told them I'm no longer a missionary officially, but I was asked to preach for multiple different missions conferences. I hope that's not going to happen all the time. But it did this month. I was in four different churches. One lady come up to me after I was preaching, and she looked at me with tears in her eyes and said this. I don't even remember which church it was. I said, I appreciate what you're talking about, that we need to reach people. But I want to tell you this. It's not always easy. And in fact, I prayed for 29 years before this person that I know and love got saved. And then she told me the whole story of how they're in church, how that they're doing this and doing that. I had a picture today, or it was yesterday, my wife. My wife's got the Facebook. So showed a picture of my brother, my sister-in-law, my niece, my sister, and my brother-in-law. Guess where they were? Sunday morning. They were in a local New Testament Baptist church. And what were they doing there? Because my mother and I prayed for many years that they would get saved. And that they would be part of what we're part of. Guess what I'm telling you? What I'm talking to you about, I lived in my life. Now, Brother Mike preached Saturday that experience doesn't what? Doesn't take away the truth of Scripture. Whether you experience it or not, it's true in Scriptures. But let me say this to you. You need to experience the truth of Scriptures in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to experience the truth of Scripture in your life. You don't get an experience and then validate it by the truth. You get truth and let God work in your life and let it be manifested in your life. I prayed, like the Bible says, to pray for people to get saved. Guess what? Not all of them are getting saved. There's still people on my list that need to get saved. But there are some that are getting saved, and I can highly, highly commend to you that it's only because of prayer. Because God listens and God works when His people say, Dad, I need you. I want this to happen. I know you do. Can we figure this out? And He will make a way. He will get to those people that you pray for. God be the glory for everything He has done. Number two, we're talking about prayer now. Number two, what do we need to pray for? Okay, I got three things for you quickly. We need to pray for opportunities. See, I'm telling you, this has to be a part of your daily life. Some of you have jobs. Some of you have businesses. Do you not pray? Come on now. Do you not pray for another job offer or another job so you can make money? It's not in the forefront of your mind every day. Give us a good client. Help us get another work done or get us another work in here. Correct? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Every day of your life, every day of your life, you're going to have to do this in your mind. Lord, I'm praying for opportunities to share you with somebody today. Are you doing that? If you're doing that, He will eventually give you somebody to talk to. If you're not doing that, you're not making an emphasis on this, then He's not going to show you because you're not even wanting to. You're not ready. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force you. He wants you to want it as much as He does. Colossians 4 and verse number 2. Let's look at Colossians 4 and verse number 2. Colossians 4 and verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He specifically asked, pray that we can preach the truth of Jesus. Just like I preached or taught about friends, if you want good friends, you have to ask God for them because He gives them. Okay? If you want opportunities to share the gospel, you really want it, then ask. Have you been asking? Well, I'm so shy, I don't want it. Well, something's wrong then. Because this is a part of a what? A effective, productive Christian person. To be what? Sharing the truth of Jesus Christ with somebody else. Boldness, number two. Pray for opportunities and then pray for boldness. Well, I'm afraid. I don't want any opportunities to happen because I'm so scared. Well, God's smart and knows that and says, then pray for boldness. Pray for unction and pray for boldness. Pray that you would have the right spirit. You would remember the words of Christ. And then you can use it at the opportunity that you're given. By the way, it's spontaneous. When you're soul winning, a lot of times, you can set a time and a date. That's great. That's absolutely great. That can work too. But we need to be spontaneous about it. We need to be spontaneous. Okay? It needs to be happening at any time, at any place. It needs to be able to happen. Oh, it's not soul winning time right now. It's not me geared up for this, so I don't. No, that's why I'm teaching you. It needs to be in your head every day before you wake up. One of your prayers is, God, I need to be a soul winner today. I need to tell somebody. I need to give a gospel tract. I need to be a witness of some kind. I need this. I need this. I need. Pray it up. Pray. Eventually, God's going to bump on a Tim Horton line. You're going to get bumped and said, oops, excuse me. And they're going to ask you, hey, it looks like you go to so and such place. Longhorns. I don't know why I was wearing my stupid Longhorns. But I was at the mail. I was post office. I was in three post office because I was trying to get this lorry. I'm trying to get the bride flower girl shirt dress for my daughter, Abigail. Because there's this wedding on the 22nd of this month for I don't know what reason. There's going to be somebody getting married. And they had to order it in China. I'm just being funny, okay? Don't give her a time. So I got it from China, DHL it here. And they left it there in Irving the whole time. I'm running around Silver Creek. And I'm going to Eden. Where is this dress? Got to Eden here. Got to the back office. They called. It's in Irving. Hallelujah. They sent me a notice. They said, if you don't get this, where is it? Where is it? If you don't get it, we'll send it back to China. I'm like, whoa, it's too far. No, I need it. Got over here. I walked outside. I'm not even paying attention. I was not in soul winning mood. I was not. I was not thinking about anybody else but the stupid yellow dress. I need it. And so I go out and this lady stops me. Hey, you with the Longhorn outfit, whatever that is. Come over here. I'm like, whoa. Okay. Yes, ma'am. What is the deal? I'm from Texas. Had a wonderful conversation. And I told her, I said, wait a second. See, I wasn't thinking. I'm going to get a gospel track. I got something for you. Went and grabbed it from the car, ran back to her. And she said, oh, so thank you. I appreciate this. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Who knows? I invited her here. She's not here today. So who cares? But I'm praying maybe she'll show up someday. Who knows? But guess what? The opportunity showed itself. I got to give a gospel tract to somebody that's willing to take it and actually thank me. But see, if we're not in the forefront of my mind, just like I was doing that day, it was not intentional to me to do that. But it was spontaneous. Okay? You have to be spontaneous with the truth. You have it. Where Christ live? In the back door of your garage? Is he living in the upper room somewhere in your house, in the office somewhere, or in a closet? No, he lives in your heart. Where do you have your heart? All the time with you. So let it be spontaneous. Pray for opportunities. Boldness to give this truth, okay? The Bible says, open my mouth boldly here. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. If you read the verses before that, it's talking about the armor of God. And one of them is that your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel peace. For you to be ready, you need to be prepared. Okay, we heard all those truths. Okay, let's go to here now. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Man, that clock moves. And supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Because it is a mystery for those that are lost. That's why they're called lost. They don't know. They don't know this truth, you know, that you're sitting on, that you are comfortable in, that you love, that you're just like, it's all about, this is amazing, I'm saved. Well, they don't know that. Let them know. Okay? It says right here, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Excuse me. Philippians 1:14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And this is where I was talking about. Some of them were doing it in pretense and all that kind of mess. There was division, but yet they were talking about Jesus. And Paul says, hey, it's awesome. At least they're talking about Jesus. Right? Amen. What else do you need to pray for? Others. We know the famous verse. What was the famous verse? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we need to pray for others. We need to prepare other laborers with us. Are you laboring with us? It's not just job of Pastor Chris. We're all looking at the pews that are empty here, and we're saying, who's going to fill them? Jesus will. And what is he going to use? His word. And what he's going to use? The Holy Ghost. What is he going to use? You. Can I say that? If I had a raise of hand here, there either someone gave you a gospel tract, at the very least, or some person audibly went through the Bible and shared to you who Jesus is. Either a mom or dad, or a Sunday school teacher, or somebody you knew at church, or somebody was on visitation. I got saved on a Thursday night. It was two Filipino guys who spoke the Tagalog language, called by my dad and my mom, for the purpose of sharing to me the gospel so I can understand it better. Because I didn't speak good English. Still don't. But I think you're understanding what I'm saying, though. He opened up the Bible on that couch and shared to me the gospel. It was a person that God used. What do you think he's changed? Nowhere in Scripture he said he hasn't changed yet. That's the way he's going to still do it. Are you wanting that? Are you wanting to share the gospel with somebody else? Are you? Are you wanting this? Because if you don't want it, why even go to church? Whoa, Pastor Chris, you are really, really, whoa. The church is commissioned to tell others about Jesus Christ. Our goal is not to fill this pew up. That's not my goal. My goal is to get the gospel out. They'll come. My guess to get the gospel out, they'll come here automatically because I'm sowing the seed, right? The seed will germinate and it will produce fruit. And there's another way to get that fruit, but grab it and bring it here. Matthew 28, correct? Teaching them, baptizing them. Acts 2:41, they were added in the church daily, as should be added, okay? Are we still there? Because our time is not. I am not going to finish session one. I got 40 of them. My goodness. All right. I can't, guys. I'm in trouble. I can't finish it right now. Oh, I got so much good stuff, too. Then next week, ladies, you're skipping out on us. Bunch of losers. I mean, no. I shouldn't say that. And then we're going to have brunch on April 17th. Come on now, guys. We're going to come back. It's the end of April. God's good to us. Can I leave you with this thought? I got so much. I will bring it up later. I won't go through them fast, and I don't want to miss our time, okay? So can I cause you to realize we need this individually? I'm looking at you individually. We need this, okay? We've heard it 100 times. Yes, I understand. We need to make it applicable then. We need to be a part of our life. Are you going to pray tomorrow and say, God, please, if not today, sometime, let me have an opportunity to present the gospel to someone. Please, either a gospel tract I can give to them, something. Can we do that as a church? Okay, no response. Lord, I know they're responding in their heart. I'm just being facetious and sarcastic. I know the people in this room care about others. Sometimes it's hard for us, Lord, but we don't make an emphasis on this. Sometimes it becomes back thought or a back burner thought. It just becomes not part of our life. And Lord, we want it to be a part of our life. Our time is short, but your truth and your power is not. You have all the time in the world. Help us to be conscious of soul winning in Jesus' name. Amen.